Sounds like they should get the number of the psychologist they hired for Yuki, and maybe, you know, Claire, Yuki, joint session.
Maybe get a discount on anger management sessions if there's two of you.
Get the man some pop punk. Get the man a boxing ring, some type of outlet. Clearly, there are a lot of pent-up feelings.
Everyone, and welcome back to The Grid. This is episode 22 of Grid Gals, and we are coming to you hot off watching the French Grand Prix. And not only have we just watched the French Grand Prix today, but we also attempted to get behind the wheel ourselves of some supercars. Unfortunately, that was foiled due to the weather. However, we still got out on the track for a ride-along, and I just feel like before we dive into the race, I have so much more appreciation for the drivers. Like, obviously, I know what they're doing is hard, but we didn't even drive. We were literally just in a car going around a track.
Yeah.
I'm floored.
And although we actually didn't get to drive on the track, we did have a driver take us out. Shout out to Sebastian Arias, because he was an amazing driver. We had a blast. And he does actually drive for NASCAR, which we found out at the end of our couple laps.
And to be honest, I know very, very little about NASCAR, but especially after meeting him, and also in 2023, Chicago's going to host the first NASCAR street race. So I think this is great for a future episode. We should compare NASCAR and F1. And so yeah, on an upcoming off week, we'll have that for you guys. Be sure to tune in.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely tell he was a professional. I was a little worried because the track was wet. I'm glad we got out there, but I'm glad it was with a pro.
Yeah, and Jack and I were flying in the back seat. I think you got it easy being in the front. Jack and I were like almost butting heads.
But it was quite fun. It was very fun. Can't wait to get back out there.
I mean, I was in the front and he was definitely like just cracking 120. Which was pretty impressive considering we were the last run out before they called it for the afternoon because it was a wet track.
And we could feel when we went over even the slightest puddle. So I think that's where Mary's getting with like the newfound appreciation, because I can't imagine an entire track being wet, or God forbid it's still being raining, because I could feel the car hydroplane in the tiniest little puddle.
Like, I was kind of scared.
Yeah. You could feel the rear just go. But I mean, he had great control of the car, but I was definitely I was scared, like, in a good way. I was definitely smiling the entire time in my little safety gear.
I didn't know how to react in the car, and I think that was a little off-putting because we were dead silent. And like, we talked about this before because we recently took a trip to Spain, and you know, we've been friends for a long time, and so silence is natural in our friendship. When we're in a car sometimes, especially if you're traveling with people, you're with them for a full almost week and a half. But I think it really is off-putting to whoever's with us, because they're just like, why are these girls silent? Also, we're going around a track like very quickly. So I'm sorry, Seb, we had a wonderful ride. I thought that you were a great driver. We just don't really know how to react. I didn't want to be the girl that screams. Like, I didn't want to be the woo girl.
Yeah,
like,
no.
I didn't want to be a woo girl, but I was enjoying it.
I will say, as our resident woo girl, first of all, no hate to the woo girls out there. I am one of you myself. But I agree, in the car. It felt weird to woo in the car.
Yeah.
I was trying to, like... This is gonna sound so nerdy, but you know how when the F1 drivers, like, you see that video of Pierre Gasly imagining on his simulator when he has like his eyes shut and he's going around the track? I was trying to do it not with my hands but with my feet when he was saying like brake or gas. Yeah. Or like lift off.
Yeah.
I had my feet on the ground in the car trying to like switch pedals and like lift off and press down, because I'm like, I'm gonna be doing this in 5 minutes.
Yeah,
the whole point was to learn the track. Granted, it got called off because of weather. But I'm like sitting there, and then I like didn't know what to do with my hands, so they were just like sitting on my lap, and I'm like, is it weird to like pretend I'm steering? Like, you can see me.
I had no idea. I like didn't want to grip on the side of the car. Like, yeah. That feels like my mom does that when I'm driving, you know, and she's like super nervous. But then I was like, I don't really know. Like, I kind of need to brace myself.
I mean, we were sliding.
Yeah, and it made me really realize how weak my neck is. We put that helmet on, and the helmet itself is probably like 3 pounds.
I was going to say 10. That thing was heavy.
And I was like, at one point, my helmet hit the side of the car. I was like, oh my God, I need to do some neck workouts for sure.
I think we called that right in our exercise episode. Neck strength is not our forte.
No, definitely not.
I think we definitely need to go karting, though, because it is much more fun. Obviously, we'll get to race in October and be behind the wheel, but the same technique that they were teaching us with the cones is what they teach you in karting on how to brake and turn and everything. And it is, like, much more fun being in control. Mm-hmm. Like, it's easier to go faster. You feel the car. You get a feel for it, and it's more natural. So, ladies, I'm excited for when we get to go back. I think it's going to be a blast, and I think you're going to get addicted, and then we can just start a karting league.
I agree. And I think karting will be a good way for us to, like, tiptoe up, because I don't know that I'm ready to, like, now, after that, I don't know that I'm ready to hop into a supercar.
Well, yeah. Also,
now that we're also being upgraded.
I'm not going to lie. I don't think I can afford to keep hopping into, like, karting seems a little bit more manageable.
That's so true.
You know, what is it that your family always said? You had champagne tastes on a Bud Light budget?
Champagne tastes on a beer pocketbook. That is our lives, ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like we're definitely getting the little taste of champagne here, and then maybe we'll just have to make it in karting on our beer pocket. I think the other thing that was kind of wild about being in those cars was the G-force.
Yeah.
Like, they straight up told us, they're like, you're going to experience, like, 1 to 1.5 Gs. And I'm, like, stuck to the back of the seat. And then, you know,
my head hits the side of the car.
You, like, look at Verstappen's crash at Silverstone last year at 51 Gs. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, did you get launched into fucking space? Like,
yeah. No idea how people do that.
My organs. Like, I feel like you would have, like, internal bruising. I mean, I know that's obviously a concern. He went to the hospital, but...
Yeah.
I just have so much more appreciation now.
Yeah.
So I think we start karting maybe a little bit before we get it behind the supercar. Yes. Just like tiptoe our way in again. We did the ride along. We'll kart, get behind the wheel. Yeah. Then in October, full speed.
We'll be ready to go. Go kart to Lamborghini. Perfect.
Nothing in between. Never mind that none of us actually own a car and or drive on the reg.
Yeah, we should probably drive a little bit more before we go
over. Somebody 100. Get a Zipcar membership.
Yeah.
Well, should we talk about the weekend?
Yeah.
All right, ladies, let's talk qualifying.
Should we start Q1? Anything exciting?
I know we were all shocked to see the way it shook out with our man Latifi at the back of the grid. It was
super shocked.
A real nail biter.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
I mean, after seeing him in Q3 last week, is it just me or I'm just like hoping that he continues to shake it up, you know? I kind of love the Latifi Q3. I kind of hope we see it again.
Honestly, low-key Latifi fans, it started ironically, but I feel like now it's legit.
Like, you know? All good things do. They start ironically, and then unfortunately you adopt them and...
Kind of like saying LOL in real life.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be a joke.
It was.
Here we are.
Another thing I will say about the Q1, sad for Pierre, you know?
Yeah.
Home race. I always feel a little bit connected to the drivers when it's their home race.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see them do well, even if they're not my favorite drivers. So I felt a little sympathy for him this race.
Wow, this coming off last episode where Jack was like, Pierre, who cares?
Well, also, it was personal last episode.
He's had, like, a rough season.
I
mean, Pierre's never been a favorite of mine, per se, but he was, like, fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Now I feel like he's just been struggling so much that, like, I don't know, it just sucks to see someone. I feel like he's caught a lot of bad breaks, but also he has not performed well. And then, yeah, like, Jack, to your point, at their home race, you just, even if, especially if they're, like, kind of on a bad streak, you hope that they get that home race advantage and that energy and are just able to, like, pick it up and kind of get back on track, get out of the funk.
Right.
And I think that's what we were all hoping for, and it didn't happen in qualifying.
I will say that I am pretty excited that Yuki was ahead of him in qualifying.
Yeah, and we can talk a little bit more about Yuki once we get to the race recap there, but Lance Stroll got out in Q1, no one surprised, thank you.
But shout out to the other Aston Martin for pulling it together. Sebastian Vettel made it through to Q2, and it's kind of been a while, so I needed that, he needed that, we all needed that.
I'm also shocked that, not shocked, but I think this actually speaks to Bottas's skill, because the Alfa Romeos have been having so many issues as of recent, and he has still not broken the streak, made it into Q2, and we can talk a little bit more during the race, but wow, it has been a tough run for them recently. So glad that this hasn't ruined Bottas's streak here, and he made it still into Q2.
And Catherine actually sent us a fun fact about Bottas this week, which I did not know.
And I think it might be because we're all Bottas fangirls, but he has the fastest F1 track time ever set.
2016 Mexican GP, 231 miles per hour.
Whew. If we thought 120 was fast today, ladies, imagine being in that car.
That's damn near double.
There's no way. There's no way my neck would survive.
And also, if you remember back to our Fun Fact Friday, he has the fastest unofficial track time as well in Baku.
What was that?
I don't remember the words. We'll have to post about that one on Instagram, but he's a speedy guy.
Quick man, that Bottas.
No one is shocked at this point. Everyone's been saying this weekend, Danny Ric's mojo going into the weekend was unmatched. He was ready to rock and still did not make it into Q3. So I don't know where those sources were, but you hate to see it. Especially since, and we can talk about Q3, Lando qualified very well considering the pace that the McLarens have had. So
he just missed it, though. He just missed it.
He did just miss it. Rome wasn't built in a day.
But Daniel's career was sure destroyed in one. The day he left Red Bull.
Okay. All right.
I will say.
What will you say?
I sent you this article. Okay? Whether you read it or not.
I did read it.
TBD.
I just spoke about it.
What article? Recap,
about
please.
Daniel Ricciardo's driving style and how it's not suited to the McLaren, given I think it has a lot of understeer and he's more comfortable with oversteer. It's something like that. I mean, I would have to go back and recap it. It's pretty technical, but it just seems like the car isn't set up for him. And like, why would it be? Like, he's new to the team, you know? Like, it's not like created for him yet.
I'm gonna need you to control your facial reactions right now, Mary. At least my driver got points today.
Ow. I'll say that for Mary. Ow.
Do we have anything else to say about qualifying? Okay, so we can get into the race when we get into the race. But I think it's worth noting that Charles Leclerc, our Ferrari golden child, did get pole, which means this was his 16th pole. And for those of you keeping track, that is equal to the poles held by Max Verstappen.
Yeah, how many times has he won from pole?
We're going to get into that.
I'm a little bit, maybe might be on Catherine's side in this one. I mean,
just so you know, this was a feisty race. This was a feisty race.
Jack just said she was on my side. We're bookmarking this.
Okay, because when we watch the race, I will have everyone know I was sitting in between them on the couch. Three of us on one couch. I'm in the middle. And Lord Almighty, they were not on the same side during the race. I don't know what I thought, but...
Jack was throwing fighting words.
It got
heated.
Let's
just say.
Let's get into it.
I'm still going to support Ferrari over Red Bull for reasons we have definitely gone over before in the past. But I will agree, it doesn't really matter how many poles you have. You can't convert it to a win.
It's not about who starts fights. It's who finishes them. That's from the Aristocats.
Okay. I just want to state for the record, I'm still going to support Ferrari over Red Bull, but before we get into it, Let's share the race results. Four official DNFs, which after reading the results confused us because we thought there were five, but four. So the first one being Yuki Tsunoda with AlphaTauri, Charles Leclerc with Ferrari, Kevin Magnussen with Haas, and Nicholas Latifi with Williams. Then in 16th, we had Zhou Guanyu with Alfa Romeo. In 15th, Mick Schumacher with Haas. In 14th, Valtteri Bottas with Alfa Romeo. In 13th, Alex Albon with Williams. In 12th, Pierre Gasly with AlphaTauri. In 11th, Sebastian Vettel with Aston Martin. In 10th, and actually making it into the points for once, Lance Stroll with Aston Martin. In 9th, Daniel Ricciardo with McLaren. Woot, woot. In 8th, Esteban Ocon with Alpine. In 7th, Lando Norris with McLaren. You'll love to see it. In 6th, Fernando Alonso with Alpine. In 5th, Carlos Sainz with Ferrari. In 4th, Sergio Perez with Red Bull. And then our podium finishers here. In 3rd, George Russell with Mercedes. In 2nd, Lewis Hamilton with Mercedes. And our race winner for the French Grand Prix this year was Max Verstappen with Red Bull.
Back where we belong.
Oh my God, I felt like we went back to 2021.
And it was like a great place to be.
No.
First of all, as our resident Ferrari gal, I would just like to say an absolute circus. An absolute circus today. I'm not surprised, but I'm still shocked and incredibly disappointed. Clowns, clownery, tomfoolery, I don't know.
As you should be, there were multiple terrible calls from the team. And sure, there was some driver error that happened, especially with Leclerc's crash, but arguably, there were other things going on. And that entire race, yeah, we always say that Ferrari can't catch a break, but at the same time, it's like, okay, who's making these calls?
Yeah, you make your own luck sometimes. And I think we should explain it a little more because I feel like we just dove straight into Leclerc's crash. So Leclerc started on pole and he had a great start. And for the first, I don't know, what, 20 so laps, it was a great race. An incredible battle between him and Max for first. And Max never took the lead, but it was a couple close calls. There was some good lunging. I mean, just a really exciting battle to watch. And you knew that Ferrari, like, it was going to be a race. Like, there was definitely a strong challenge there. It was exciting. And then all of a sudden, there's a yellow flag. And it was, I mean, the commentators, of course, normally focus on the front of the pack. But it was one of the few times they panned away. And they were somewhere, I think somebody had pitted or something. Oh, Max had just pitted. That's what it was. Max had just pitted. He was in second. And the pit stop at here at Paul Ricard is, I think they said on average, 27 seconds lost. Mm-hmm. So he had tumbled down the places, I think to like ninth or something. You know, it's a pretty severe loss to pit, but the tire degradation was very strong. And so you're like, okay, you know, I think they were focusing on Max making his way back up the grid.
Right.
Because they were not focused on the front of the pack. And then all of a sudden there's a yellow flag and you're like, oh my God, who is it? Like, is like Latifi in the wall or something? No. No, he's not. It's Charles Leclerc, our race leader, in the wall. And straight up, well, here's the controversial bit. He could be heard on the radio screaming about the throttle. And for those of you who watched the last race, there was an issue with the throttle where they couldn't fully get the throttle down to zero. Like, it was stuck at, you know, 20 to 30% for the last 10 or so laps of the race. I don't think Ferrari has made any public statements. I don't think Leclerc has made any public statements. But he was heard screaming about the throttle on the radio. And then all of a sudden, he loses control of the car and he's into the wall. And you're like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And then, to pour salt on the wound, a safety car comes out. Naturally, everybody else dives in because you save like 10 seconds.
But not Max, because he just got new tires, so he is now in the lead.
He sure is. He sure is. But you're like, oh, this is still a smart decision, right? It's still smart of Ferrari to bring in their other driver, Carlos Sainz, who started at the back of the grid, mind you, and had a phenomenal time making his way up the grid. It's still smart to call him in. Sure. It is. Except, they decide to just, like, for some reason, there was a weird pause at the end of the pit stop, and they released him late.
Yeah, they had, like, the longest pit stop.
Yeah, and then he almost runs into the Williams. Like, I think it was Albon, had to brake and locked up and, like, actually kind of swerved in the pit lane to avoid crashing into Carlos Sainz. And this is immediately after Leclerc crashes.
Right.
Like, I'm already standing, screaming at the TV. And then I see this unsafe release, and you're just like, you have to be kidding. Like, this has to be a joke, right? Like, we're really vying for a championship here?
Also, can we talk about that radio?
Oh my god, yes.
That's gonna live in my head rent-free for a while. Leclerc's radio was unbelievable because he got on as soon as he crashed. Of course, the engineers ask if he's okay. And then he's just heavy breathing.
And, like, for a weirdly long time.
Amount of time. And you know your finger has to be on the speaker or whatever it is to even transmit that. And then he just screams, which I'm sure, like,
it was primal. Yeah. Like, that came from, like, the depths of his soul.
Yeah, because a DNF, when Max is probably going to take and did take 25 points home.
Yeah. Sounds like they should get the number of the psychologist they hired for Yuki and maybe, you know, Claire, Yuki, joint session.
Maybe get a discount on anger management sessions if there's two of you.
Get the man some pop punk. Get the man a boxing ring, some type of outlet. Clearly there are a lot of pent-up feelings. Rightfully so. But I don't know if the radio was the right release.
That's like a cry in your shower while you're like screaming neck deep type of day. That might be very specific, but, you know, my pop punk fans, we've all been there.
I mean, speaking of Yuki screaming on the radio, I would have loved to hear his messages after he got taken out the first lap, right? And he had qualified so well.
Heartbreaking. Some light in the darkness for Yuki. And yeah, to see his race ended so quickly after having such a good qualifying round. Yeah, I would understand if he was screaming into the radio a little bit.
He definitely has the right to for that one.
Also, for Yuki to get hit by Ocon, and we all know, I've just never been a huge Ocon fan for whatever reason. I respect that he's a good driver. But then he goes on to get points and splits the McLaren. Like, that was a little bit, felt like salt in the wound.
Yeah, and it's also his home race. So normally you want to, like, again, cheer for the home racers.
Very
but, like,
true. Very
it's
true.
Hard when you took somebody out and they don't even get to finish.
It's just also hard when it's Ocon.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about him. It's hard because I have a couple friends who are big Ocon fans. And I've, funny enough, beginning of this race, I'm like, I could maybe, I don't know. I feel like I'm an every team fan at this point. I was like, I could hop on the Alpine train, you know? I love Alonso.
Alonso, I think, for sure.
Fun to watch, but it's just Ocon that, even though he's been doing better, just can't get behind it. I guess I'm a little hypocritical saying you always want to see the person at their home race do well. Maybe it's because he split the McLarens. I don't know. Definitely have a little bit of a bone to pick with him because he took out Yuki for sure.
Well, we may not be full-on Ocon haters, but again, we still are full-on George Russell haters, and we need to talk about it because George Russell, he was out of control. I don't know about out of control per se. He ended up on the podium, but he was on one. And his whole, like, little crash with Sergio and then him being so self-righteous about it. Like, even his team knew he was in the wrong.
Yeah, and to double down during your post-race interview in front of all the fans, I was floored. Even Toto came on the radio and told him, keep your head down, you know, just do it again. Pretty much saying, yeah, you were kind of in the wrong there. Let's just try to pass Checo again. Probably a safer way this time.
Yeah, because he ran Checo off the track and then demanded that Checo hand the place back. And it's like, well, yeah, maybe Checo took the shortcut to, like, avoid knocking you both out. Like, that was definitely Russell.
Because if Checo would have stayed on track, they definitely would have crashed out, both of them.
For sure.
I hope he watches that back and realizes he was in the wrong and says something about it. Because granted, we're seeing this all taped. Mm-hmm. I think after your team tells you, you probably should take their word for it, since they can actually see what's going on. But at the same time, maybe he'll have a learning lesson, watch it back, and be like, wow.
Yeah.
I was really in the wrong there.
I think that's what we see with more of the experienced drivers, because they do say, yeah, I'll have to watch the tape back. Mm-hmm. I will give Hamilton credit for that, because he is very good about that. We're like, hey, like, I haven't seen it. I was in my car, obviously, so I need to watch what happened from an outside perspective. But it definitely made me hate Russell just a little bit more. Especially taking out one of my Red Bulls again! Again.
Also, Toto's face when he was having to deal with the whole George drama was hysterical. He was just so much fighting, rolling his eyes, having to listen to Russell on the radio. Mm-hmm. And I get it. It's like, hey, at this point, we've told you, knock it off. We can see what's going on. Keep racing. Do your job. That's what you're here to do. It's a job. Do right. it.
Well, it's funny because I'm so used to, like, the Toto cam, right? And, like, getting his reactions for everything. But because Mercedes, until very recently, the last couple races, they haven't really been up there. We haven't really seen much of Toto this season. Mm-hmm. And Toto has some great facial expressions.
He really does. And not to pile on Russell.
No, please. Please.
But who was it that crashed out at the end? And we've got another safety car.
Latifi?
Oh. Our guy Latifi crashed out, what, 3 laps to go? 4 laps to go?
No, that was actually Joe. Latifi crashed earlier.
Oh, and Joe just kind of spun off, and I think they just took his car away, right?
Yeah.
Which, that's the one we referenced when we were reading the results that we were confused, because on the TV, it showed Joe as, like, a DNF.
Right.
And then when we were reading the results off F1.com, it basically said he was in 16th, just plus 6 laps, but that's because he was in the garage, so I don't understand that.
I'm not sure, because that might have been, like, he's completed enough of the laps to have completed the race or something like that, but technical analysis aside, there was a safety car that went out. And when the safety car ended, Russell had a good start and was able to get past Checo. And then gave himself the biggest congratulations when he finished third and said, great result, guys. Great. Great takeoff after the safety car, as if, like, that's part of the team even doing anything. Like, he's just giving himself the biggest pat on the back. Even so much that the commentators were like, yeah, it really just seems like he's congratulating himself there.
They were savage. It was actually spot on.
The commentators, I was they were really savage this about weekend. The commentators this weekend, because they're also just calling out Ferrari for just all their terrible calls, which I do think we need to circle
back to. We need
to
talk. We need to talk about it, because it shouldn't have been Russell on that podium. It should have been Sainz.
Yeah.
Sainz was running in third. Sainz was having a great race. He literally was in the middle of passing Perez, like, to get to third place. And then Ferrari's on the damn radio calling him into pit as he is passing Perez. Like, are you even watching the race? Mm-hmm. What? Like, that's what I was saying. Pure clownery. Buffoons. And thankfully, as somebody who grew up in Detroit and is used to watching the Lions, like, I've been conditioned for this since birth, right? Like, my mama always used to say, never underestimate their ability to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. And that's now how I feel about Ferrari. Like, Leclerc in first crashes into the wall. Sainz in third, podium finish, and then they just call him in. And he lost, he ended up in what, like ninth, and he fought his way back up another couple of places to fifth. Mm-hmm. But he had no shot at a podium after that, and for what? They put mediums on.
Yeah.
It was such a joke. It was such a joke that they did that to him. And I know earlier I was like, trust your team. I think in Ferrari's case, it sucks being a driver and not being able to rely on your team. Mm-hmm. They're clearly making bad calls. They have a history of making bad calls.
Well, and the commentators called that out, too, because initially when they called him in during his literal battle with Perez, Sainz was like, no, no. And they were even saying, you know, it's kind of unfortunate, but thank goodness that Sainz is a good enough driver to, like, more or less stand up to his team. And that was the call that he made in Silverstone. Mm-hmm. And, like, clearly it paid off for him. But then eventually he did follow team orders and did come in, and look where it got him.
Yeah, because he could have stayed out and probably gotten third.
Tough to swallow.
Yeah.
We're going to have to see Ferrari turn around. Well, I won't have to, and I hopefully won't ever have to, but I do like seeing Ferrari do well. Ish.
Ish.
Not to change the subject, we'll say, again, for the record, still supporting Ferrari over Red Bull. But anyway, speaking of turnarounds, I think McLaren, all things considered, had a very good weekend. I mean, Norris qualified well, Ricciardo very close to making it into Q3, which doesn't happen every weekend. Both got points. I think that's all we can ask for. What sucks is they were split by Alpine, which they're running neck and neck right now for fourth. So I think this puts Alpine ahead of them now because they were tied last week. So some ground to make up there, but I hope that we continue to see this momentum. I hope we continue to see both of them getting into the points. It's going to be interesting to watch that from a midfield perspective. I think it's going to come down to the end, seeing the Alpine and McLaren. I think they're going to continue to go back and forth this season.
Yeah. And I think we'll see Alpine on the podium at some point. And I think we'll see McLaren on the podium again.
Yeah, because especially if there's any sort of weird weather race or something, or God knows there's reliability issues with our good old Ferraris. I definitely think it's possible to see both an Alpine and a McLaren on the podium this year. And speaking of Alpine, it was so fun to watch Alonso. Like, this race, literally going out of his way to give the McLarens a hard time.
I feel like we haven't had the proper appreciation for Alonso because we haven't watched the sport historically. Like, we're still new to the sport, so the real Alonso, the real, like, fighting Alonso, we never really got to see. But listening to his radios and now, like, watching him more over this year, too, hilarious. Because he got on the radio and was like, I'm just going to make sure Norris wears down his tires.
Basically, he had created such a large gap in front of him that his engineers were kind of giving him some grief on the radio, basically saying, like, pick it up. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, no, I'm doing this on purpose to wear down McLaren's tires so that they're following me in dirtier air, essentially.
Yeah, because he knew he could hold him back and it'd be fine.
And he was right.
Yeah.
Even though it was my team, you kind of got to respect it.
I feel like Norris has been stuck behind Alonso in so many races.
Yeah.
This poor kid cannot catch a break, cannot get around Alonso.
Yeah, for a lot of reasons, I think it's a tough season for Norris. But it is a little comical to watch still because Alonso is such a good driver. And I mean, I think at the end of the day, you have to kind of take your L's, respect it. Like, if it were anyone else on the grid, I don't think you would, but like him being such a decorated F1 driver, I think you kind of just have to, at the end of the day, after obviously the initial frustration wears off, kind of chuckle to yourself about it.
Well, hey, I know we said we've been looking for an Alpine podium, and our next ring is Hungary, and that's where Ocon not only got on the podium, but scored his first win last season. So who knows? Maybe Hungary's lucky for Alpine.
Yeah, time will tell. Looking forward to that race.
Yep, I guess we'll see next weekend.
Well, thanks so much for listening. We love having you here. For links to all our socials, you can check out our website, gridgals.com. If you have any thoughts, feedbacks, want to just drop us a note about F1, you can email us at gridgals@gmail.com. And remember, wherever you get your podcasts, remember to like and subscribe.
And that's Checkered Flag for this session. We'll see you back on the grid next week.